Welcome to my daily teaching video. I'm coming to you live today from Ashland, Virginia, from the Heflin Camp, a camp that's been here 100 years, this Holy Spirit Glory Camp in the country of Virginia. And great to be with you. Hey, in a moment, I'm going to jump into part three of my teaching for this week, all about introducing the subject of prayer, where the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. And we're going to be talking about how to create a roadmap to develop an effective life of prayer that actually works, that changes things, and most importantly, that brings results. Good. A few quick housekeeping things. If you are on my YouTube channel, it's great to have you here. We have over 1 million subscribers. Why not join that group by hitting the subscribe button? And most importantly, drop me a comment. I really would love to hear from you. If you have a prayer request, a testimony, leave it in the comments. I'd love to hear that. I will get back to you and say hi wherever you are in the world. Secondly, I have an email newsletter we send out once or twice a week with great things, books I'm reading, videos, all sorts of things, articles, sermon notes. Love to get that to you. It's completely free. Sign up below. And number three, a big thanks to all of the partners of my ministry. We love and appreciate you guys. Thank you for partnering with us. If you'd like to become a partner, link below. Boom. So we've been reading every day. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. The Pharisees taught their disciples and they prayed just like the Pharisees. But we want to pray like you, because when you pray, stuff happens. When you pray, mountains move. When you pray, fig trees die. When you pray, blind eyes open. And I believe God wants to take us on a journey where we learn to pray. And I believe we need to, in a way, affect and embrace that journey of developing an effective prayer life. And it is a journey. And I don't think we ever completely arrive. And yet I want to suggest to you, if you'd spend a few weeks working with the Lord on the subject, developing yourself on the subject, I believe you can come to a place of glorious, fruitful results that will change and transform your life. I don't think it needs to be difficult. I don't think it needs to be the work of many, many years. And I believe we can, if we'll be willing, we'll get to that in a moment, to let go of some bad ideas, I believe we can learn to pray amazing, effective prayers. I'm going to be teaching on this in my churches in New England over the next few months, 2 months actually. And a couple of great books I'd encourage everybody to get would be The Two Kinds of Faith and In His Presence by the writer E.W. Kenyon. And he describes his own prayer journey in that. And those are some of the best resources I have ever seen on the subject of prayer. So what I want to do today is zoom out and give you a bit of a roadmap, which will help you if you're going to come on this journey with me of looking at your prayer life, seeing what does it actually consist of. Now, again, I want to begin. I think the first step with this is actually being honest about where we truly are in our life of prayer. And I don't know why this is, but I find maybe all streams of Christianity are like this, but particularly my stream of Christianity, charismatic Christians. I think Christians lie about many of the practices in their own life, but I don't think they intentionally lie. I think they're practiced in self-deception. And I think there are lots of Christians I meet who are living ineffectually today. It's like they're not really reading the Bible today. But if you would ask them what their relationship is with the Bible, they'll give you this vision, this like, oh, I'm somebody who quotes the Bible all day. And that what they're doing is painting an idealized picture of where they want to be tomorrow. But they never quite start, and it's always tomorrow. And today's busy and they never quite do it. Like, I think in the same way, if you went to a lot of people and said, tell me about your prayer life. Oh, I pray all the time. I pray without ceasing. I pray. Blah, blah, blah. I'm always praying. You usually hear the kind of line, well, I don't have a dedicated time of prayer. That's religious, a quiet time, but I pray all the time. And if you were to follow them around with a video camera all day, what you generally see is somebody just living a normal life and not praying all the time. And yet I don't think they're trying to deceive you. I think in a way they're deceiving themselves by pushing off into the near tomorrow what they'd like to be doing today. So the first step in changing anything is actually being brutally, the Brits would say bloody honest, like being real and honest about where we are at right now. Again, we don't want to measure the effectiveness of a prayer time, certainly by how much time you spend. I think that's actually one of the poorest measures of it. Somebody once came to Smith Wigglesworth and said, how long do you pray when you pray? And Wigglesworth said, I never pray more than 15 minutes. And then we were like, really? Wow. And then he smiled with a wink and he said, but I never go more than 15 minutes without praying. So, again, put that where you will. The point I want to make is it's not about how much time you do. Jesus said hypocrites love to pray. Yeah, speaking of the Pharisees. Jesus, in a way, rebuked the people who prayed long, flowery prayers and loved to be seen by other people in doing them. But again, let's come back to this basic truth. I think if we're going to develop an effective prayer life, we need to be honest. We need to be honest with God, but God sees everything anyway. We need to be honest with ourselves about where we currently are in our prayer. How much do we pray? Do we enjoy praying? Are we satisfied when we pray? Do we feel guilt or shame about the way in which we pray or the way in which we don't pray? And the bottom line is our prayer life working? Does it affect results? Do mountains move? Do prayers get answered? Do things actually happen? Do situations change when we pray for people? Do we see breakthrough in results? Now again, obviously not everything we pray for will happen instantly, but over time, we should know, I think to quite a large degree, if what we pray for actually happens and works, or if there's somehow something going on here where no, our prayer life is ineffectual. And the bottom line is we won't do things that we don't enjoy. We won't do things that we're not satisfied with. We'll do things that are not easy, but we will do things when we believe they produce results. I can't say I enjoy going to the gym, but I go to the gym an average of 3 times a week. Occasionally, if I'm crazy busy, I won't. Sometimes more, but 3 a week would be normal. And it's not like, wow, I just love it. It's such a wonderful experience. No, it's hard work again. But it's hard work that I believe in. It's hard work that I can feel the benefits of during that day. It's hard work that over an expanse of time produces results. So where are you at with your prayer life? It's a tough thing to say, but I would do some housekeeping with the Lord and look at your actual prayer life and think in a well, where am I, Lord, show me where I'm actually at here. And then secondly, I would get that vision of how Jesus prayed. I said yesterday, read through the Gospels and take an honest look, like you're watching a movie. Sometimes we're so religious when we read the Bible that we don't think it's actually real. Look at how Jesus prayed, the results he saw when he cursed the fig tree, when he sent Peter to get a fish with a coin in its mouth, when he would pray for, so often it's careful. If you actually read what the Bible actually says, he usually doesn't pray for miracles. We think he prayed and multiplied the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. If you're looking at it, he prayed and then he acted. And in the action, the multiplication happened. I don't think there's one instance where a sick person came to Jesus and Jesus said, Father, who art in heaven, would you please heal this person? And bang, they were healed. No. He might pray. In a way, Jesus separated the prayer from the healing. He'd say, be healed. He'd touch people. He'd tell people, arise and walk. He'd heal people in that way, but not through prayer, in a sense. So look at how Jesus prayed. Number 3, and I'll end with this one today, I would look at different categories and areas of your prayer life. I think if we look at our prayer life, I really just want to say 3, but I guess you could call it 4 different areas that we all need to be involved in that are very different. The first one, personally, I think should be 80 or 90% of our prayer life, and that's actually fellowship with the Father. Now again, if you will read the Gospels, you'll see Jesus praying. We occasionally do, but we hardly ever see Jesus bringing a shopping list to his Father. He's always in fellowship with his Father. That's the main area of prayer. And I think, again, most of us struggle. We don't have, I think most of us actually do our real life fellowship with God in public, in a church meeting, in a corporate setting. And we haven't learned how to do it well on an individual basis. Second life of prayer is indeed praying for ourselves, praying for things which concern us. People say that's wrong. No, it isn't. You need things in your life. The third area would be praying effectively for others. So number one, fellowship with the Lord. Number two, praying for yourself. Number three, praying for others. And then lastly, I don't really call that prayer, but I think it's important we learn how to take authority over Satan. Again, we don't pray to God about Satan, but in a sense that there's a part of our prayer life that needs to be about resisting evil. Lead me away from temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. That's resolved in keeping the barriers up against Satan and against his attacks, and standing in a place of authority and rebuking him for anything and everything that he would do in our lives. So four areas there. Again, my encouragement to you is, number one, be humble, be willing to look at your prayer life and say, Lord, where am I? Compare your prayer life with the prayer life of Jesus and see the distance between the two. And then look at those four areas and allow the Lord to give you a dream, a vision, a plan, a glorious dream of how you could, would, and should live in those areas. Selah. Boom. Guys, thanks for watching. I'll be back. I'm going to be back tomorrow and do a Q&A on this subject. And again, I encourage you to build that prayer life. Come on this journey. I'll be teaching more upon this next week. Bless you.